Three shots, four par, I just do two. One putt, par four, birdie, woohoo. New driver, info, replace, M2. Par five, fairway, what you fin do? Think I'll try to get on into. Start right, good line, good view. Andrew, shoot him, McGavin, two thumbs, that's up high.
On the Screws Podcast, episode number 90-something. We've been at this a little while now. Support for today's episode comes from True Classic. Our new sponsor is the absolute best-fitting t-shirts a man can buy. Finding the right t-shirt with a little bit of a dad bod is incredibly frustrating. I'm a new dad, a little bit of a dad bod. I completely understand, and I'm wearing one right now, feeling confident reading this ad. True Classic has already helped over 2 million men finally get a better fit at an affordable price. Our listeners get access to the best deal they offer for a limited time only. Get 25% off using the promo code OTSGolf at TrueClassic.com. TrueClassic.com, OTSGolf, 25% off plus free shipping. Enjoy the pod. Episode 95, Tyler Lowy Putters. How are you doing, Tyler? Thanks for joining us, man.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
We got Bryce back this week, a couple weeks off, but how are you doing, Bryce?
Good. Been pretty busy lately, but glad to be back and chat some golf.
Yeah, and these are, we've had a few putter builders on the past, on the pod, like Josie Mack and Brandon Matthew. And yeah, man, some of the, like,
you know, both those guys are heavy hitters.
Yeah, they're beautiful, man. They're beautiful. And in my opinion, I know Custom Clubs, Chris, who we've had on the past, Brandon from Shafts and Balls think the same of your putters, man. So before we get into the putters, can you tell us a little bit about yourself, Tyler, kind of who you are? It doesn't have to be golf related, kind of, you know, what you're into. I know we've been chatting a little bit off air here, but give any of our listeners kind of an idea of who you are.
Yeah. So Tyler Lowy from South New Jersey, right on the edge of the Pine Barrens out here. Welder, fabricator, machinist, union iron worker. When the timing's right.
Yeah, it seems like everybody's got like a, I don't know, like an iron work or like a welding background or something. I know like Josie was as well. And Brandon had done like, well, he was like a commercial pilot at one point. He had done a little bit of everything. So it's kind of cool to like,
that doesn't even surprise me at all.
Yeah.
He had a wild story with all this stuff.
He's like a published author for like the Major League Baseball with the FBI or something like that too. Yeah. Like, it was pretty neat. It was pretty cool. But yeah, it's kind of like the idea, Bryce, or the consensus that we've had, any of the guys that are into putters are like machinists. You know, you guys kind of have the idea of like the weighting, how to work.
Yeah, they can use their brain. Their brain works well. Well, yeah. better than mine, probably. Yeah.
So
I think that's a common theme.
Outside of golf, like, have you been playing golf for a while now, Tyler?
Yeah, I've been playing golf on and off for since I was probably like 12, maybe even a little earlier than that. Didn't really start getting serious about it till probably 2013, 14. I was playing with my father-in-law a lot. We got this like kind of like Bobo membership at one of the public courses around here. We would just go out and have some beers and hit it around, and he was awesome to play with. But then just recently, probably the past like 3 years, I started to get even more serious about it.
What's the season like? What's the season like in South Jersey?
In Jersey, you can play as long as you're ready to play, pretty much, as long as there's no snow on the ground.
Was it Paul Bryce that was telling us that they like,
yeah, I thought he was saying like you can even just go out some courses, like you can play in the snow if you really want.
I mean, I think if you wanted to, you probably could. I'm not quite that hardcore, but
yeah, it's not
for me. We're out there when it's like mid 40s, low 40s, we're playing.
Nice. Nothing like fall golf, right?
Yeah, he was saying that there was one course, I don't know where in Jersey he said he was from, but there was one course that like would shovel, the owner would like shovel a pathway.
No, didn't he say it was his dad that would shovel it before the putts?
Could be.
That's what he said.
That's even worse if you're paying to play that too. Hopefully he's just allowed to go out. But
you gotta be real sure about your line too.
Yeah. I forget the actual story, but I want to say he said it was his dad who used to shovel his lines and he rolled.
I believe it. It's gotta be pretty similar weather too, kind of like what you and I have, Bryce. So Bryce is down in Michigan. I'm in Toronto area, so that's where Bryce is from as well. So you guys got to be pretty similar to where we are. A little bit of snow, and then when you get hit with it, you get hit with it bad too, right? So
yeah.
What's obviously you have that like machining background. Like, what got you into the putters? Like, did you kind of was it something that you wanted to kind of work more on the putters than like wedges or any other type of clubs? Was it something that you kind of just zoned on that way, zoned in on?
No, it was kind of like, I had a putter. So I play right-handed and I putt left-handed. And
Ryan Hayes. Okay. Yeah. Hazy from Overdrive up here. He's he does that too. I've heard of it from a couple people, but it's rare, man. It's very rare.
I mean, I play hockey left-handed. I don't know. I couldn't give you an explanation as to why. It just feels comfortable. It kind of always has. And trying to find like a used Scotty left-handed, you're paying like, dude, like crazy. So I was like, I got a milling machine. Why not just make one? Yeah. And that's kind of how I got into that. So
Before we go further, I just want to say, Kirk, I hope you're listening to this because I have a second Del Mar now. I'm getting one back from our friend Tyler Custom Clubs. And you just said it, finding a used Scotty left-handed is like a unicorn. So
you got two of them.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And
break it in on them.
I am being hounded by not hounded. Every time we talk to him, he's like, so what do you think? What do you think you're doing with the other one? So, yeah, it's just they're we're unicorns, man. Lefty.
Tell them to hit me up and I'll make them a custom one.
There we go. I like it. Kirk, joy. But sorry, yeah, hop back in. So you just kind of like, you CNC'd one, you just kind of like thought you'd give it a shot?
No, so I make all these I have a barn, a two-story barn in my backyard. And it's like, I've had a little welding shop in my backyard for a long time since I bought my first house. And it's evolved over the years to like mini machine shop, but I don't have any CNC capability. So they're all done on a manual bridge port by hand.
Oh, wow. Really?
So all these putters are hand milled. Yeah. And all the necks are turned on a lathe by hand.
Wait, seriously?
That's wicked.
Oh yeah.
I had no idea. I wouldn't have been able to tell.
All right. So it's like early in the pod, but we like, I guess she's like, man, I'm actually like kind of shocked.
I had no idea, give us the
building process then. Like, so how do you like, you just got a block of, you know, steel and you just go from there? Like, how do you?
Yeah. Yeah. So I bought a big bar of, some clearance 1018, mild steel from my local supplier. And I hacked down a little piece in my horizontal bandsaw. I square it all up in the bridge port. Then I lay it all out. I hit it with blue layout die. I lay it all out by hand. I have pretty much two head shapes that I work off of, and they kind of like deviate a little bit depending on what that specific person wants or like what we talk about or kind of how I'm feeling that day or whatever. So lay it all out by hand, then just start milling away at it on the bridge port.
Oh
yeah.
I'm kind of like
radio silence. <away. laughs> Radio silence. We're just,
that's impressive. I mean, yeah, like you gotta have a lot of precise mill, like milling precisely to get those sharp corners and get those little cutouts and stuff. So, I mean, I don't know the full process of doing it personally, but I can't imagine it's that easy.
No, I mean, I was in a machine shop. I was telling Mac, I went to high school for welding. Mm-hmm. My uncle was a union pipe fitter, and when I was pretty young, he came over, kind of showed me how to like sweat copper pipe and use a grinder and stuff. And from then, like my interest in it was like I was hooked. Mm-hmm. So then, around 13, I got a side job with one of my mom's friends' husbands, who was a union boiler maker. So I've been around union work my whole life, pretty much. Yeah. And he had me like welding these syrup cages for Coca-Cola, and that's where I learned how to weld pretty much. Then I went to high school for it and got a job in a machine shop with the school to work program from high school, and there I learned all sorts of like CNC stuff, manual stuff, press brakes, everything, like anything you could think of in a machine shop, fabrication shop, I was trying to learn it. And then, like I was telling Mac, some stuff didn't go quite the way I thought with management or whatever, and after 10 years there I left to ironwork. So
Tyler, are you the only guy doing this? Like everything now seems like it's at least cut off a CNC machine, right?
So there's one other guy that I know of, Legend Golf.
Okay.
he has some CNC stuff. I don't know if he makes putter heads on the CNC. I know he hand mills a lot of putter heads. They don't quite look, we have definitely a different aesthetic look to ours for sure.
Yeah.
He does like cool, really cool ball markers and divot tools on the CNC. I think he turns his divot tools by hand on his lathe, but a lot of his ball markers are CNC stuff, but he does some really cool stuff over at Legend Golf. But as far as I know, it's just me and him really that are.
Yeah. On this, I think Bryce will agree. This chat took a turn, man. I did not expect this whatsoever. And so I was talking to Tyler earlier, to Bryce, and I was saying, oh, like Bryce and I are like the two easiest guys in the golf community to talk to. Like, I think we get that feedback from like everybody. We just kind of like to hop on, shoot the shit organically, kind of talk about it. And like, I was like, oh yeah, well, plenty to talk about. And then it was like the first time, Bryce, I think both you and I have just been sitting there with like our mouths open. Like,
well, I was just going to say, I can't wait to see that playback of him saying that. And our faces are just like, we saw like goats in front of us.
Yeah, that's like built-in content. That's so easy. Yeah,
dude, I was telling Mac that I was so I was pretty nervous because you had like Josie from Mac Made on, and I mean, I'm like feeling some like imposter syndrome type thing. Like,
but we tell everyone, man, we're just growing the game. We like to get everyone out there and get recognized. But like, I mean, you can touch so many people through us and hopefully get some more connections. And that's kind of what we're doing here. That's what we want to do for everyone. So
absolutely.
Well, it's the idea too. Like, we learn a lot from this too. Like, if we didn't have this conversation, we would just feel like that's just a putter that's, you know, dropped in a CNC machine and kind of built out that way, which is man, that's so impressive. I'm like, I'm shocked a little bit. This is like the way that they look, like, cause you know, you would think that like maybe they'd be a little rougher and stuff like that. So let's kind of break it down a little if we can, Tyler, if you don't mind. Like, let's take it through like a rudimentary process for Bryce and I and any of the listeners. So you got your block. I know you kind of gave us an idea. So you get your block, you're gonna have the shape of the putter. Like, I know you number yours, right? You kind of name them by number?
Yeah, yep. And that's pretty much the number on Instagram. I think it's at 9 now.
Okay.
Is how many are in existence. That's it so far. So
cool.
And okay. I got a pretty long backlog right now. That's a whole nother topic that we can talk about in a little bit because, like being hand milled, they're not just like, they don't just come out.
Yeah, you don't just pump 10 of them out.
Right. So anybody listening at this point, your Instagram's linked below. So go below, click Loey Tyler, at Loey Tyler, and check some of them out. So let's just take like, you know, I'm looking at the one in the top left corner right now, or in the middle of the page, is the number 9. So say you take like your block of steel, you're going to cut that into like a smaller rectangular kind of piece. And then are you like, do you hand trace it onto that block and then cut it from there?
I have a hand-drawn, I wish I was out in my shop, it doesn't get good Wi-Fi, but I have a two hand-drawn sketches, like blueprints pretty much.
Okay.
Of the heads, the face on view, side profile, or however you want to call it, and looking at it flat. And I pretty much just take all those numbers, trace them all on there, lay them all out, and then start milling. And then it's usually, I've got it down to around 6 hours on the mill, roughly.
Okay.
Because I've been doing two at once. So the setup on the mill is really what kills you on time. Like trying, getting everything positioned right. Because like all those angles and stuff, they're not, the head is stationary like this. The table only moves X and Y. So you only have X, Y, and Z, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So I have like a rotary table that I can use and different fixtures to get that block of metal in the position that I want. So setting it up is kind of like a lot of the time and using
the battle.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So I try and run two at a time. I've tried to do three and you kind of lose a little bit of the nuance in each, you know what I mean? It loses something. So I think two is a good number. It's around 6 hours on the mill. Then once it's off the mill, I have about through maybe 2 hours of grinding, hand grinding on a belt sander, flap disc, Scotch-Brite wheel, all sorts of different little tricks and things we got over here.
Don't give them all away. That's some of the mystery of it, right?
Dude, I don't know. Anybody who wants to handmill a putter,
I feel like anybody's gonna try it. And then, so I'm looking at all the different neck inserts, right? So that's kind of my next question. Sorry, Bryce, if you had one, maybe write it down there.
I got some, but go ahead.
Yeah, yeah. So the heads stay fairly consistent, Tyler.
This is right where I was going. So.
Okay. So the heads look all like fairly like you kind of like work off that same head type, or you've got a couple, like you said, and then so how do you do like the weighting with where you insert the shaft?
So that was a lot of trial and error.
I bet.
I don't know if you noticed, but none of my background was in like design or CAD or engineering or anything like that. And quite honestly, I really didn't know a lot about putter design until I started making like the first one that I ever made. If you looked at the toe hang of it, it's literally straight down to the ground because I had no idea that you could adjust toe hang based on where the shaft intersects the center of gravity on the putter face or something of that nature. I'm still learning a ton about it too. So, that was a lot of trial and error for sure.
That's cool. My kind of question kind of segues from that, but, you said you go by one head shape. Are you getting like calipers out and getting them down to like that?
Yeah. Like, yeah. So
exact same, or are they a little bit different every part?
They are all a little bit different given the nature, the hand milling.
Yeah,
exactly.
But you're trying to get them as close as possible.
Usually I can get them within like a gram or two of head width.
And like length and length of the milling and all that, honestly, you're trying to keep.
Honestly, the dimensions are really not that tough. If you have any experience on the mill, it's really not that hard to get it like pretty precise.
Okay.
And then again, like the grinding aspect of it, the hand grinding, because I know a lot of the guys too that CNC putters, I'm fairly sure that most of them like hand grind those to finish.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure when we were talking to Mac, he hand grinds the finish.
Yeah, and there's a lot of finesse and nuance in that too. So that's really where the artistic end comes in too, and that's why I like it so much.
Well, for me too, like having a welding background too, that's like part of the art for me is like seeing a clean weld, right? And that's what Brandon was talking a lot about that too, is like how he was not as seasoned as a welder as some others were. So he put in a ton of time. Like, you know, I think he was saying that, like, he thought he had, I don't even know how many hours logged, but he was just like, just of actually practicing and like just butchering, you know, putter heads, trying to get the perfect weld in on those. So it's like seeing somebody who can, you know, get that clean bead is nice, man. That's like part of the artistic part for me, I think too. And that was something that I know Josie is very, very good at. He's an incredible welder. So, it was fun to.
He was saying he does like show. He did like show trucks and stuff for SEMA and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's
crazy. So he like he was. That was kind of his like background. You know, and that's kind of the thing. Everybody's got like kind of a machining background, or you know, working with their hands in some capacity, and that's kind of where we, you know, that's where we see the best butter builders.
Cut it out.
Yeah, get it out, man.
No one's churning butter.
Yeah, it's well, man, these things are butter. They're so clean. Yeah. So I'm looking at which one am I looking at right now? Sorry, like anybody, if you are by chance watching on YouTube and my face is just buried in my phone, it's just because I'm staring at these. But I know Bryce is probably doing the same. So I'm looking at like the cutout in the middle. So with the mill, like you're kind of tracing that out and cutting that all out by hand.
Yeah. Yep.
Damn.
That takes the most time for sure.
Yeah. That's gotta be like most interesting.
And I've broken more than one or two tools doing that.
I was going to say that too. I mean, how many of those like mailing bits or whatever it is, you go through a lot of those, like they probably dull up pretty quick. No.
I mean, that kind of all comes to like, knowing your feeds and speeds and different coolants to use, when to use coolant, when not to use coolant, and how patient you are, really. Okay. Cutting those slots out, I get very impatient sometimes, and that's when trouble happens for sure.
And if it's taking you, like, is it taking you 6 hours from start to finish or 6 hours to get it from a block?
Just
of,
the mill, right?
Steel.
Yeah, no, that's just on the mill. Yep.
So that, that's got, like, I'm going to guess it's 5 hours of that or 4 hours of that is that chunk, like cutting out that insert.
Honestly, hard to, I have it written down. I'm trying my best to be like a businessman. I'm a horrible businessman. I always have been. I've tried running my own side work for like ever. I've been welding for 19 years, almost 20 years. And it's just like, friends come over like, hey, can you weld this? Oh yeah, sure. Weld it. Give me like a case of beer, whatever.
Yeah.
And it's just like, you don't make any money.
Yeah. You have to value your time, man. That's one of the things, like, I know we talked about how, like, I have a mechanical background as well. And like, I was young, right? So I did the apprenticeship like through high school and stuff like you did. And you kind of, like, you get into like the field and whatnot, you're working, and like I was working like 7 to 5, 6, 7 those days. I'd get home, somebody want me to do, so, like, you know, turn a wrench on that car. I know I've talked to, like, on their car, I've talked to Chris from Custom Club, same type of thing. Like, he said, like, it just gets so monotonous and like you just don't want to do it. And then, like, nobody really wants to pay anything. They just want to give you like food or booze or something like that too, right? So it's hard to kind of value yourself, like find that value, right? So
exactly.
But once you you know, once you start to build them, and people are, if you have, you know, a couple in the queue, you should definitely make sure that you know, you're charging appropriately, especially if they're taking that amount of time. Mm-hmm. Bryce, you good? I got a question. You good if I okay, so the Father's Day build, that was one of the ones that caught me there, Tyler. Can we talk about that? So
yeah, absolutely.
Maybe you can even like give the idea of it, and then we can dive into it a little bit.
Sure. So young lady came to me with a idea to get a putter for her husband, and I was kind of like rattling off some questions about like, what's he game now? Like, how long is it? What's what lie angle? She's like, I have no idea what you're talking about.
Yeah.
So I was just like, all right, sick. Let's just build them like a head shape. We'll machine the neck. I'll send it all separate. He can open it in a little box so that he doesn't think he's getting a golf club. And when he opens it, we can set up a time. He can come over to the house. I got this little like half ass. I don't know if you ever seen, if you know Edil.
Yeah.
I don't know if I've said that right. So that's how you say it.
Yeah. I think it's Edil. Yeah. E-D-E-L.
Edil. Yeah. Yep. They have a super sick fitting process for their putters.
Yeah,
and I kind of adopted a lot of those little techniques up in my upstairs of the shop. So he came over the one night, we're drinking beers. I got the laser going and like different stuff. And we got them all dialed in. And then he left. I welded the neck on, bent it to his specs, finished it up and put a shaft and a grip on it and sent it out so that he had a complete putter.
That's sweet.
How thrilled is he to do that?
That was, it was a ton of fun. He loved it. Yeah, it was great.
That's one of the most unique experiences I've heard. Like, I know, like, in the past we've heard, like, Josie was saying that people can come over and kind of check it out and like watch them do the work and like have input and stuff like that, but actually like getting just a block in the mail, like, you know, your putter, and then like that is so cool. So, and then just kind of being able to go over and piece it together and put it together, right? So do you think there's ever like an avenue where you could somehow do that and the person could kind of build it on their own if they wanted? Like,
what do you mean?
Like, I guess, like, I'm just kind of thinking like off the top of my head, it would have to probably be, you know, you'd have to like tap an insert where you could screw the neck in, you know, they'd have to be able to build the shaft on their own, which it, like, putting a shaft in is not that hard. I think most people could handle that and throw a grip on and stuff like that. But I was just, I don't know, got me thinking of like the idea of like putting it together themselves and it coming like in a smaller unit, like you said, right? So probably impossible, but
yeah. I don't know how you would get the neck adhered to the head other than, well, I mean, I guess you could epoxy it in.
Well, that was my thought. Like if you like tapped it. If you like tapped it and like, screwed it, I guess, or something, but it would be.
You could always just send the neck already welded and then like the shaft, the grip, and but like, I feel like it just adds extra cost and time for people that they don't want it. They would just rather him, like Tyler, build it. And
also, and all the people that have bought them local, have all basically most. I want to say there's only nine of. There's only eight of them because I have one of them. But most of those people have came over to the upstairs. We sat down with a blank putter head on a shaft. And I've gone through that same fitting process with almost all those guys.
Okay. All right.
So it is definitely a little bit more than just, yeah, make me a putter. I like this and this. There's a lot of people don't really know. To be honest, you go to Golf Galaxy and most of those putters are bent the same lie angle. They're mostly all the same loft. There's like three different lengths to choose from, none of which are sub 33, really. And you kind of just like grab one of those and you're like, all right, this Scotty Cameron's $400. I'll buy it.
Yeah, looks good, feels okay, whatever.
Exactly. When really they're kind of like missing out on a whole. I mean, your putter is like your most, it's like, especially this one, it's like my most prized material possession in golf, really. Like, you spend the most time with it on the golf course. It's the most important club in your bag, in my opinion. And to have something that's like custom tailored to you specifically,
can't beat it.
Like that confidence when you stand over that ball, it's like, that's worth anything to me. If golf is important to you.
Bryce, you got headphones in? You listen to this, pal?
Yeah, I'm trying to, my wheels are turning, but I'm just trying.
Yeah. Bryce is still hunting. Bryce is still searching for this.
I know. I think I said that when Chris was on. I sent a DM real quick to Mac, like, yo, let's get Bryce's yips figured out. Let's get him in one.
That's like one of the ones that we started talking about is
come on down to Jersey.
I got one of those $600 off the shelf Scotty's coming. So I was just trying to stay quiet through that.
I've been rolling a Del Mar since I was, well, for a while now, and I was like rolling a number nine before that. So that was what I originally was fit into. And then, I think, I got some work done by Chris. So that thing's in the mail today, coming back.
Is it really?
Yeah.
You're fired up, eh?
Yeah, it'll be pretty
exciting.
I'm just trying
I got a Phantom 5.5 coming. So whenever it comes in, they're taking months to get in, but
do you, you've got nine in existence. Number one is yours, I guess.
Yep.
So that'll always be, that's pretty cool, man. I like that. That'll be cool. Sweet, yeah. Do you think you'll stay with the two, the two head types right now? Do you think you'll move to, you know, kind of more of like a mallet or anything like that in the future?
So Chris actually got one from me. I traded him for a sick Mizuno bag. Shout out to Chris.
Was that awesome, big dude. That like blue bag?
It was like gray. It's gray.
I'm trying to think. I feel like I saw him post one, but yeah.
But he definitely posted it. It was. Yeah. I think it was the only one he posted. But it's sick. It was like, I love it. But more than that, I just wanted to kind of just wanted to get a putter over into those guys' hands, like him, Brandon. Yeah. I don't know if you guys know at Super Swings, Javier.
We've just like kind of messaged a little bit, I think, or like I've seen their stuff like through Chris and Brandon. Yeah.
So he's got one on order with me right now. I'm super stoked to build one for him, but getting some in those guys' hands, guys that are like player, super serious about golf players, and have some definite reach in the community for sure. Has been huge, but Chris's was like the closest thing to like a mallet esque. It was the same head shape, but it was just like, almost double wide.
Did you post that one?
Did he or did I?
I know Chris has quite a few times. Yeah.
I think it's on there.
Yeah. That'll be really cool. I think it'll be, I don't know. Cool to see how it develops. And obviously as things grow and as you get busier, you'll probably have somebody ask for a different shape and you'll kind of take something on, and it sounds like you're open to it, right?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I got a buddy who was talking about like an actual mallet, and I didn't give him a ton of pushback. I told him that I'm definitely open to trying some things out with him for sure.
All right, we made it through nine, and this glizzy is brought to you by our friends over at Manscaped, manscaped.com. You can go over, check out the Ultra Premium Collection or anything that you need to not suffer through the back nine here. Using the promo code OTSGolf, you will get 20% off plus free shipping. Maybe you'll go low on the back. Thank you for supporting the episode. Thank you for supporting the pod. Manscaped.com, 20% off using the promo code OTSGolf, free shipping right to your door. Enjoy the pod. All right, Tyler. So I like the idea of like the personalization and the touch, really. So yeah, we just like, I'm still shocked. These are milled, man. Sorry. But, you know, so say I call you up, how do you kind of, you know, if I call you up and say, or like, we send you a message, I want to like build a putter. What's the process? If you don't mind, like sharing cost and kind of like how you work with the customer.
Sure. So right now it's, for what I offer is the head, custom head, neck, true temper shaft, and a Lampkin grip. I have in stock. I got like the Lampkin sync fit straight, which I love personally, and the deep etch paddle, which is also, if you like a skinnier pistol type, yeah, grip, that's a tried and true. Right now I'm at like $375 for those. Price can go up as high as you want for, if you want to get a LA shaft or BGT or something crazy or whatever. But starts out, we do a little messaging online, a $100 deposit that's applied to the end total, obviously. And then once I get closer to the time to build, I'll even reach out again and just go over a ton of like, not even putter specifics, but like life specifics, like favorite color, favorite, like just talk like how we're talking here, you know what I mean? And just try and get a feel for you and your golf game, and
kind of just you as a human being, even kind of find their interest.
Exactly. Cause that all kind of, like I was saying before, the putter to me is the most personal club in the bag. And that's something that I think should reflect you for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like if you ask me today, like my games, the other day I won a few closest to the pins and stuff like that at men's league. I've been rolling it pretty well lately. If you asked me 2 weeks ago, I would have told you to keep the $100 deposit, throw the thing in the trash. That's just their game. Bryce is in the same boat, man. It's
I think we're all there.
Yeah,
we've talked enough about my putting. I just
mean in general, there's a volatility to our golf game that's keeps the game fun, and that's why we keep going back. But man, that sounds like very fair pricing. That's it's a cool process, man, and like taking that personal touch to, you know, speak with people, learn about them, because then when you're building it, you're gonna have like, you know, them in mind.
Exactly. Yeah, absolutely.
That's cool. I like that, Bryce. You want to add anything onto that one?
No, I'll take the next point here, though, if you don't mind.
All right, go for it.
Any putter on the PGA Tour you could put in a player's bag. What? I guess I worded that bad. Any putter you could build for a PGA Tour player, who would it be?
So I was just at the BMW Open this past weekend. Yeah. So I got my buddy had an extra ticket for Saturday, and then we wound up getting free tickets for Sunday.
Sweet.
Nice. Which was sick, dude. Absolutely. That was my first PGA Tour event to go to, and I had a blast.
That's awesome.
Scott Stallings, he looked, I didn't grab it and look at it, but I'm pretty sure it's a Newport 2.6.
Okay.
I could be wrong, but it was center.
Yeah, you guys go ahead. I'll get it here. I'll grab it.
Okay. Center shifted blade. And that is exactly what I pretty much modeled that. So if you look at my profile, the center shafted head that I did,
yeah,
that's like exactly, I love that head shape. I love that it's center shafted. I love everything about it. So if I could make something for him, that would be super sick. I think.
Are you talking about this, copper looking colored one?
No, he's rolling the Newport 2.6 prototype.
But
yeah,
the one you like made. That one.
Yeah. Okay, cool.
Yeah, so that's what he's playing.
Yep.
Max.
Yeah, you got it. Yeah.
Yeah, so I would love to make him something like that. That would be the answer probably.
I had a thought, like, just in the golf world today. This is selfish. Because we built a relationship here, Tyler. I want to see these things go big. I would say Willie Z right now, because everybody is just constantly watching this guy.
Yeah, you know what? Bryce has a little bit of Willie Z look to him, a little bit.
Man. I think the same body, dude. Yeah. 65.
Yeah. What if we, like, you're kind of like Tommy Zalatoris. You're like Tommy Fleetwood and Will Zalatoris, right?
I love playing like Tiger.
Yeah. And Bryce just like swings like a mile too. And, I'm looking at Scott Stallings, what's in the bag, and he's got Vogue TVDs, man. These things are 2017 prototypes. How is he still using these?
That's dude, so crazy. Scott had a great fourth round. I wish I would have put him around.
Isn't he really small? Isn't he like five, like, or no?
I don't know. He looks kind of beefy on the
no,
TV.
No, I mean height-wise.
I don't know. I didn't see him.
I always thought he was really short for some reason. I'm going to look that up.
I was following.
Well, yeah, he's a thick lad, eh?
He's a thick lad, for sure. I was following Morikawa around on Saturday. Kid was absolutely electric on Saturday.
So pure.
Yeah, what a fun dude to watch play when he was playing. And then Sunday, he didn't really have the day that he wanted, I don't think. No. I think he made a 6 on the par 5, 12, and then made a 10 on the par 3.
Yeah,
that's a
tough one.
Yeah, 6 foot. Scott's only 6 foot, but
he's a big lad. Yeah,
he says he's 195, and I don't think they're giving anything away there. Scott Stallings is 220. He's like he's a big.
Yeah. If he's 195, his body fat's 3%.
Yeah. Now Morikawa is like 5'8", 145 probably.
Yeah, but that guy can flush a golf ball. I would
On Saturday, there's the par 5 12 was playing over 600. He had I heard him talking to the caddy, 234 to the front edge to clear the water and place 3 wood like pin high into the sand.
Yeah.
Just an absolute
334.
No, 234. So that's however he hit that ball. I don't know.
Yeah, so off the tee though, if it's playing 600, that's like he's probably at 330, 340, 350.
And it was and it was straight downhill after he got over this hill.
Yeah,
cool golf hole. But
that's a little hybrid. That's a little hybrid for Bryce here. That's
four iron.
Bryce is just like super lag. But
230.
Yeah, I was saying off the tee, man. If he's hitting if it's 600, he's hitting
it up at 234. Hopefully, yeah.
It's just cool to kind of see what they do. I remember watching like on the four play video, and they had Morikawa hitting, I think he was hitting like 7 woods from 280 out or something like that and trying to get them there. Maybe it was 5 woods and trying to get them there. Jeez. Yeah, it's nuts, man. And just like the extra gear that they have, right? So as soon as I try to add that extra gears when I try, I end up ripping 140 yards to the right as a lefty golfer here. So.
Well, that's the thing for me. It's not even the extra gear for me. It's like flushing it every single time, no matter what. Like, I'll hit 10 balls and I'll flush one of them and it'll go forever. But, like, that's the only one of the 10 that's going where I want it. You know?
Yeah, it's such a funny game that way. Those guys, like I said, my first time out there and I was, like, beyond impressed.
I think, like, that one was definitely one I didn't expect, though. Scott Stallings and I didn't know he rolled, like, a 2.6. There is not many of those. Like, not too many guys are rolling.
I didn't even know it existed, and I'm, like, a big gearhead. Like, I usually know that stuff, and I had no idea that was a thing.
Well, he's been around for a while. Yeah, he's been around for some time, too. So, I know.
I love that head shape. And that one that I made, I was just, like, my buddy, he was playing, I want to say it was, like, a Golo.
Five?
What's the half mallet one? Five. Like heel shafted half mallet.
That's the Del Mar.
The moon?
It looks like the Del Mar, but it's a Golo.
Yeah. Is it like a big moon?
Yeah, it's a moon.
Yeah, it looks like a D. It's the Golo 5.
He was rolling that, and like every time I play with him, right now he's playing off scratch. And when I was playing with him originally, I think he would agree that his putting was probably his worst attribute in golf. And since I got him in the bay, we kind of like he was the first one that I really like fit into something like that, like full on process, and got him into that center shafted 2.6-esque prototype. He's been rolling it insane, dude. Like
really just fell in love, eh?
Yeah, he was four like on one of our local tracks out here, was 4 under at 66 and had a little hiccup on the last hole, wound up shooting a 68, but still, like, I think he had 20-something putts, 26 putts or something. Damn. That round.
The dream.
Yeah, just rolling it insane. Just, like, hitting the ball great and then finishing it out on the green, and that's how you keep a low scorecard.
Yeah.
Totally. So yours, before we let you go, Tyler, I'm looking at yours. So you insert from the heel as well. Is that yours, the first one on your page?
Yeah, yep.
All right, so...
Like I was telling you, if you hung it up, if you saw the toe hang, it's like straight down. It's ridiculous.
You like that though? That's a good feel for you.
I would, to be quite frank with you, probably would prefer a little less, but I've also learned over this past couple months of making putters that if your grandfather gave you like a prized possession oak 2x4 and you like and he whittled it down to a look like a putter, I think if that's like what you loved, you would putt well with it, to be honest with you.
Yeah, like putting is still very much a feel game. I believe that. And like a little while ago we had Gareth Rafleski on, so he is like he coaches all the best LPGA players in the world right now. I think he coaches like 5 of the top 10 in the world. He coaches a lot of top Canadian guys. One of the best short game coaches in the world. Luckily he was driving home from an LPGA event and hopped on a call with me while he was driving, which was pretty cool. And you know, he said you can like, obviously if attack angles or something are like way off and you have to have a look, you're going to have a look, but so much of it is still feel and being creative. Right. And I liked how he put it. Like if you're a good short game player, the things that separates the short game, the really good short game players from the good short game players is like that next level of creativity and having that confidence in the shots. Right. Same with putting. It's the same, right? Like, if you feel confident with what you're rolling, that you can roll that ball 3 feet past the hole and you're not going to leave it 3 feet short, you're going to make a lot more putts, right? So
absolutely.
Or Bryce's theory is a little bit different. Sometimes you might roll it 6 feet past and have to make the comebacker, but you know.
Never be afraid of the 6 foot comeback. Exactly. I'll die.
Up to be a hero, you know?
You're playing MP5s right now? Sorry, I'm going through your page a little bit here, Tyler. You're playing MP5s? Those things are sweet, man.
Yeah, I love them. Honestly, probably don't have the game for them, but since playing them, I've been playing them probably for, I don't know, maybe 2 years. They've definitely made me a better ball striker for sure.
Yeah, because if you're not a good ball striker,
they're tough to play.
I'm just looking trying to look up that release date because they've been out a little while, right? Like they've
05, maybe 06.
Yeah, like I thought that they had been out. Like I was gonna guess like 2009 or something, but I think they're even older. Maybe now, I'm pretty sure.
Double check me on that. 05, 06.
I'm gonna get Brandon back on here and he'll let us know, or Chris will let us know. Chris will definitely.
He'll tell you the swing weights of every one of them.
Yeah. Like I don't know, man. That's cool. If you can we circle back to that idea with Scott Stallings? So if there's anybody in the existence of the game that you could, you know, build a putter for, would that change or would you still go with Scott Stallings?
The existence of the game?
The existence of the game.
Can't say Tiger Woods. That's everyone.
Well, I don't know. I think I might make Tiger Woods a worse putter if I gave him something. I don't want to jinx him. He's got too much riding on.
You'd have to mill a little like dent in there for him or something like that.
Yeah. I don't know. That's a good question.
Just think back to like even like Phil rolling like the 8802 and like, you know, just those kind of cool putters. Like, would you ever want to dive into something like that? Like back in the day, those guys were rolling like mainly those heel, like
Hoggle type ones. Sam Snead, like hickory shafted.
How about Brian Harman, who still uses the old school massive spider head that's like this big?
I don't know that.
No, you never seen that? I'll pull it out.
Saw somebody like a little while ago rolling like that Futura putter, the Scotty Futura. I can't remember where it was, but those things are.
What do you guys think of the? What do you think of the lab
putters?
They're wild.
Yeah. Adam Scott's rolling those. Yeah, like it's and they're all like center balanced, I believe, right?
Yeah.
The shaft goes into like the middle of the head. Like there's a square here. It goes like in.
Yeah, not just like center shaft. It's like in the middle of the actual like whole head.
Brian Harman rolls this thing, and it is literally, this big. I'm not kidding. Like, it is like huge.
Little fighter jet there. Like
it must inspire confidence looking down at it, because I know those 8802 looking down at some of those putters is kind of like, I better hit the middle of the face.
Yeah, here. That's kind of how my number 9 got was
the size of that thing.
That is how my number 9 got the face was starting to wear out a little bit. So if I was like hitting it off a little bit, I was hitting it off a lot of bit. It was tough, man. But it just kind of made me curious if you'd ever want to try and like, you know, build something like unique and like super creative for somebody. obviously there's probably that idea, but it'd be hard. You'd have to kind of get an idea from them a little bit, I think, to have an idea.
And you know what too, like Chris was talking about on your I think it was on your podcast, he was saying how if he's building something that he wants to build, it gets done like so much quicker and better and stuff like that. And at first I had like mixed emotions about him saying that. I mean, obviously he can say whatever he wants. It's his own opinion. Mm-hmm. And I had a little bit of a mixed emotion about it, but then I started to think about it too. And it's like, and that's kind of why I've always been such a bad businessman too, is that like I don't know. Who likes work? Yeah. I don't know. And building these things is kind of like an art project almost. So like having too many parameters makes it less fun to build. And it's like really frustrating when something doesn't go exactly right. And when someone's just like, hey, I love the head shapes, I like this, this, and this, whatever you want to build within that, do it. And then they come out so much better.
Well, that's exactly like I took the head off that I took the putter apart and I boxed it up. I sent it down to him and I was like, I don't care, man. Like, do whatever you want.
Yeah, that's like, awesome. That's great.
So we kind of talked about the idea, like, we go back to you having like a conversation with a customer or a potential client or whatever it might be, and finding out what they like, and then you can kind of build something like that into their vision, right? And he knew, like, man, like I was talking to him probably like 2 years ago when I first met Chris, and I was like wanting to do like some copper wedges or something. I was like really into the copper idea, and so I said, don't send me any photos, I don't even want an update. He told me once that it was getting sandblasted, and I was like, I don't want to know anything else. I think Bryce thought it was a little bit nuts, but I was.
You've seen it though now, right?
I've seen it when it was done. Yeah, I saw it when it was done. So the idea was that though, like, I knew who I was sending it to. I knew his level of talent. Obviously, it's extremely high, and I knew kind of like what his skill set is. And if I asked for something or told him something, or if I went to you, Tyler, and I was like, okay, like this is what I want. Don't stray from this. Like, this is exactly what I want. A, you're not going to have as much fun building it. And B, I'm going to leave like creativity on the table because you're better at that than I am. Like, you're a better putter builder than I am. Right. So that's kind of like, you know, you got to have a little bit of trust, I think, in the builder. So I see where Chris is coming from with that, like, or when he was saying that kind of stuff, like he will, you'll get a better product if you put a little trust, I think, in the builder.
Yeah, absolutely.
Maybe that's what he's trying to say. Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah. Like I said, I was like, kind of had like a weird thought about it when he first said it, but after I, stewed on it for a little bit, I couldn't agree more.
Yeah, like he's kind of a prick, right? So you just, no, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. He's actually like, you know,
he's just gonna fire back at you at that
in the best way possible. Yeah. No, he's gonna love that. If I know anything about him, he's gonna love
it. Well, I know, but Max's gonna have a DM as soon as he listens to it.
We're like 45 minutes. Yeah, we're 45 minutes in.
Cock in your Delmar.
Yeah, I know. Hopefully that thing got in the mail today. You saw me that, like, something like the bathroom like overflowed in the postal office or something, and so it was shut down when he went to send it. Oh man. So hopefully that thing's sent already. Yeah, that's but good. He's a good guy. You guys are all like really talented, and it's kind of you know, that's the idea. We like having Bryce and I love having a conversation with anybody in the community really, but like you guys are kind of at the top of like what you guys are doing. So it's nice to have a conversation and learn from what you guys are doing. And man, we're both still floored that these things are
Yeah, no, I'm still trying to process.
Yeah, that's
I can't tell you how much that means to hear that, for sure.
Yeah, that's wild, Tyler. Anything we want to add, Bryce or Tyler, before we cut it here?
No, all I want to say is keep doing what you're doing. I mean, it's working. They look really good. So impressive. And
how often are you pumping these out right now? Do you mind saying how many you got in the queue? Do you have a big backlog?
So right now in the queue, I got about 12 to build.
Okay.
And so I just had a son in February.
Congrats. It's
my second kid. That flipped my world upside down. Crazy. I have a 3-year-old daughter, and it was like right when I thought I had that figured out, we had the son, and dude, it is crazy. I don't know.
Max got a fresh one.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. First birthday's next week or this week.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Congrats. That's awesome. Man.
It's amazing. And I'm on paternal leave right now, which I've mentioned a couple times in the pod.
What did you just say? He's won when?
Next week. Well, his party's next week. It's September 7th.
That is insane.
Crazy fast.
Well, the other day he was born.
He's walking now, like taking like, you know, half a dozen steps, crawling up the stairs and stuff. It's cool, man. But it definitely, Tyler, does add like an extra component. And as soon as you put that second one in there and like all the different stages, right? Like when I first went off on paternal leave, like my wife ended up accepting a position and I think I went off around 8 months or something, and he is so much different now than even then. Right. So
yeah,
it's, you can't be running machines and stuff like that while you're trying to look after those.
Well, dude, ones. And not only that, not to get too, somber on you, but, so I was working kind of far from home. My wife was on maternity leave, and in the States here, we don't get great benefits as far as paternity leave.
Right.
Jersey is actually one of the better ones. I think we get 12 weeks at a certain percentage of pay, which is awesome. And I'm actually about to take it soon. But when we had the kid, I took like a couple weeks, 2 weeks off or 3 weeks off, and then went right back to work. And then my wife was off with this, our son. And then when she went back to work, I was working like an hour and change away. And the guy who I was working for was, the days were getting kind of late over there and the traffic was really tough getting home. So I wound up having to leave that job and I had a few putters in the queue. So I was like, let's just try and like run this kind of full time. And when that was right when my wife went back to work and it just like couldn't have been worse timing, honestly. Yeah. And that was like pretty tough mentally trying to be a good father and a good husband. And still like pursue what I wanted to pursue. Mm-hmm. So that's and then, so I don't know, we've been dealing with that or whatever. And, fortunately my wife is like absolute rock star. Awesome. And my family is great. And they're here helping out with the baby when they can. My in-laws are here when they can. My neighbor, awesome retired couple.
He's out in my ball and of course when I tee up, I lose a ball and I re-up. I miss a fairway, I probably end up in the ocean or maybe the beach. And I'm on a par 5 and I'm finna go reach it. Second was blind, I ain't see it. Feel like it might be an albatross working scenario.
Hopefully.
Hey, man.
Paternity time and get my mind right. My mind, I'm starting to come back around, back to normal, you know what I mean? So.
Yeah, it's like, I was literally just on the phone with my sister and my mother-in-law, who's I guess Bryce's aunt. So that's how Bryce and I are connected. And like,
oh, awesome.
I got men's league tomorrow, like golf men's league in the afternoon. My wife has baseball and stuff. So like trying to like, okay, can we like, you know, take him here? You cover while I'm at golf and then she can drive into the, you know, so all that other stuff, man, I know how that is. It does take a village and, you know, the putters will be there, man. They'll be there when you're ready to come back to it. And like, it's one of those things. I think people, if they're, you know, interested in it, it's what they want. The timeline is just it's just a timeline, man. It's like what I said to Chris, I was like, when I get it back, I'll be like, it won't matter how long it took. Like I'll be rolling this thing the rest of my life. Right. If they're coming to you for a custom putter, they're getting a, you know, Tyler Lowy custom putter. It's cause they want to have that thing and they want to be rolling that for the rest of their life. Right. So
absolutely.
Yeah, man. Don't stress. We're all here. It's a pretty awesome community, man. We're
absolutely.
Bryce and I were on episode 95. Now we've met, you know, probably had 90 guests in that time period.
Dude, some huge names too.
Yeah. It's been so much fun, man. We've had a couple episodes where we just it's just Bryce and I doing something, but man, we've even had chats where we had like, well, when we had the good guys on, we had 6 people at one time, like the editors and stuff like that. So it's kind of cool, man. We've met so many cool people through the community.
And, that's huge.
Yeah, so I think you know what you're doing is great, man. Keep doing it. Awesome. And if you're one of the only guys doing it, you'll find a way to make it work. It's pretty cool stuff.
Appreciate it, guys. Yeah, you guys keep doing your thing too. I appreciate you guys so much for having me on.
95 Fridays in a row, Bryce, are pretty awesome. We got some pretty cool people coming up in the when we get up to number 100, and then I don't know, yeah, we'll see where it goes from there. We've got a couple new things to discuss too as well. I think we got a new partnership in the works, Bryce. I haven't even told you about that because I just got off the call.
So
we can hop on or have a quick discussion about it afterwards. But Tyler, before we let you go, can we share You're running most of your stuff through Instagram, I guess. Yeah.
All of it is through Instagram. Yep. Or if you know me personally, you can text me. Or if you want to get a putter, I'll definitely give you, I reach out on Instagram and I'll shoot you my number. We can talk on the phone or whatever.
At Lowy Tyler.
At Lowy Tyler on Instagram. You got it.
Lowy Tyler. Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. So same as usual, if you're in the car right now, listening to us on Apple, Spotify, thanks. We never ask people to rate, but I guess I probably should, cause other podcasts do that. So maybe go rate, subscribe, do all that cool stuff. Thanks for listening. Like, I know most people listen to the podcast. And if you haven't, go check it out on YouTube. We drop a video over there. If you want to see our faces, why not? You can see Tommy Salatoris here. But yeah, when you stop the car, whatever it is, we're going to have your Instagram link below, Tyler. So, you know, go ahead, click the link over and check out these putters and remind yourself, these are milled. These are
hand-milled
putters. Hand-milled in the Pine Barrens, baby. Right here in New Jersey.
So cool. And when he gets some time, he's putting that on a t-shirt too. He's putting that logo on a t-shirt. Yeah.
I love
a nice logo. A
couple of those got to come up to us, my friend. Those are pretty sweet.
Hell yeah. Absolutely.
Tyler, thanks so much, man. This was great. And if anybody has any questions, by all means, send us a DM, whatever it is, through Instagram at OTS Golf or otsgolf.com. And we'll get you hooked up with Tyler and we'll get you set up. Mm-hmm. This is cool, man.
Appreciate you guys.
All right. Take care, guys. We'll see you next week, episode 96 next week.
He's out in my ball and of course when I tee up, I lose a ball and I re-up. I miss a fairway, I probably end up in the ocean or maybe the beach. And I'm on a par 5 and I'm finna go reach it. Second was blind, I ain't see it. Feel like it might be an Albatross, worst case scenario.